Warning, the following podcast contains adult language and childish comedy. Listener discretion is advised. And now, please adjust your headphone volume to an unreasonable level and enjoy the most dynamic and electrifyingly entertaining podcast ever to conquer cyberspace.
Friends, and welcome to the most powerful podcast ever created, the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast starring Dags and Rez. Today we have a powerful episode. Put your hands together for award-winning broadcaster, Mike or DJ Rez.
Good evening, afternoon, and good morning, Dags and friends. That's right, award-winning programmer of the year.
Yeah, we want to hear about that. Tell us.
WFNU, Frogtown Community Radio, programmer of the year. I mean, did you ever think in your wildest dreams you would have a programmer of the year as a co-host on your award-winning podcast?
Yes. I mean, no. Oh. We are very lucky to have you. God bless you. Yeah. God bless this country and God bless Mike or DJ Rez. Tell us, how did that go down? Tell us, if you're new to this podcast, by the way, what it is me and Mike or DJ Rez talking pop culture. It's a party. Look at the new screensaver I have up there.
I see it. It's lovely.
It's a retro arcade.
It is. It looks like someone's basement. I would love to have that basement.
Do it. Do you have a basement?
I do, but I couldn't make it look like that.
Why not?
It's not big enough.
What's not big enough?
We're still talking about my basement, right?
That's what she said. Your basement's not big, or?
No, my basement's not big.
But that makes it easier.
Yeah, but I could have like one game. The ceilings are low, so I don't even know.
But that's kind of cool because that gives it the man cave feel.
Sure.
Because one of my problems is with, I know we go off in tangents, whatever. We're going to talk about your radio history.
But absolutely we are.
Just for a second. The problem is people have these man caves and they just buy everything and it's too well manicured.
Yeah,
like they'll have these arcade thing, but they'll have every game and it's all lined up. And I'm like, dude, you didn't play all those games. So I appreciate a real man cave where it's a busted up old basement, but you have your favorite shit up there. Maybe an arcade game, maybe whatever you're into from your childhood. That to me is a man cave. It doesn't have to be fancy big. It just has to reflect you.
Yeah, our laundry room where I do my resin work as well, where the furnaces and stuff, that's the beat up part.
That's
and then
cool.
We have a bedroom and a family room down there. Like, I could probably put you have your arcade game here, the Galaga.
Yeah, that's like one of those arcade up one. It's like a 3/4 scale or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. See, I could fit that. I could fit that size.
You should pick one of those up. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. Are they inexpensive?
They are.
Are they?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And they're cool and they're retro. And
yeah, but I'd have to find one that gets, you know, that takes quarters because I would make my friends. Amy.
Well, what you got to do is get a real one.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes. Eventually.
Eventually. I don't know.
Wherever I settle like down, because I haven't settled down yet. I'm a Rolling Stone, but wherever I settle down, I'll get a real arcade game.
Is it going to be Donkey Kong or Pac-Man or is it
Galaga?
Gonna be
I think Galaga is my
full size Galaga.
Yeah. Dig Dug. I love
it. It has to be Dig Dug.
I love Dig Dug.
If it's not Dig Dug, it's got to be Joust.
Well, that would be your ultimate.
Yeah, Joust, yeah. That was my favorite game growing up. I mean, it's fucking ostriches.
Yes, and eggs and...
Yes.
When I win the lottery, I'm going to buy you a full-size, authentic Joust.
Nice.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. On the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast, the most powerful podcast ever created. Now let's get back to you, Mike, because you're the man of the hour.
Yes.
Tell us about your radio career. Tell us about that cool award you won.
All right, so every year we have a fundraiser for the radio station, Frogtown Community Radio, because we are a nonprofit 501c3 charity organization, according to the IRS.
Wow, that was very official.
Yes, a lot of letters and numbers involved.
Yes, please don't do that.
Okay, sorry. So anyway, so yeah, every year they hand out the Programmer of the Year Award, and this is the third year we've done it, and so I'm the third recipient of the Programmer of the Year. So I've been there almost 9 years now.
Epic. Congratulations. Tell us what does programming mean? Does that mean you pick the songs? That means your show, you program your show, you program other shows. What does it mean?
We are all in charge of our own shows, which is one of the best things about volunteer community radio, that we don't have a program director telling us what to play or a corporation telling us what to play. So every show is a little different and we do local music. So we get to play all the local music we want and we get to interview all the local musicians we want. So I don't have to ask anyone for permission because it's my show. So they rewarded me with my great programming skills.
Now, you started out on the bottom of a church. Is that true? The basement of a church?
No, we actually started off in the corner of a second floor building that it rained inside every time it rained outside.
That's cool. No, I did your show. That was in a church, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you did the church show.
That was cool.
Yeah. And then you've come to our new studio.
Is this the latest studio?
Yes.
Yep. Is that technically downtown St. Paul, or what is that considered?
No, it's right by the, people that are familiar with St. Paul, it's right by the old Sears building that's by the Capitol.
What if you're not familiar? Because this is a worldwide audience.
Then Google Earth search St. Paul Capitol building, and we're in that area.
You're near the cathedral, correct?
Yes, close to the cathedral.
That's a powerful building, isn't it?
Yeah, the cathedral is very powerful.
It is.
Yep. Too bad they cleaned it up and it's not green anymore.
So the original dome was copper.
Correct.
Then it oxidized and it turned green.
Green.
And then they redid the dome?
They cleaned the dome, yeah.
Now what is it? What color?
It's that original copper color. So
it's back copper.
Yeah, it looked like the Statue of Liberty before they cleaned it up. Because the Statue of Liberty is originally copper, that dark copper. And then as it oxidizes,
yes,
it turns green.
By the way, what color will your beard be when it's fully oxidized?
Green.
Green.
Yeah, I can't wait.
God, can you imagine?
I should start dyeing it different colors.
Yes.
I should let our listeners pick.
What would be your first color?
Red.
Red?
Yep.
Like a crimson, like the Daredevil's costume?
No, not. That's kind of like a deep red. I want to do like a bright red.
You do?
Yeah. I'm talking like fire engine red.
Yes, fire engine red.
Yeah. How about this? We will, in February, we will let one of the listeners choose which color I color my beard.
Yes. So, by the way, listeners, you want to get a hold of us, even want to talk to us, Twitter/X. I just got to start calling it X. It's X.
It sounds like you're talking about porn, though.
No, I know, but it's X. Follow us on X at Amazing Pop Pod. I'm on there 24/7 tweeting powerful tweets. By the way, did you enjoy my
Oppenheimer one?
But it was really inspiring.
I like when you get people.
Thank you.
I don't know. There's some people that just live in a world that they just have no joy.
But we love those.
We do love them.
We love the non-joyers, the trolls.
Yes.
Please troll us on X at Amazing Pop Pod. Also like our Facebook page. We have powerful Instagram. We'll have a picture up of Mike or DJ Rez soon. Stand by. Also, we do have our powerful YouTube page. And wherever you listen to podcasts, please do us a favor. Please leave a review, leave a rating. It helps us get the word out on our award-winning co-host, assistant manager, Micro DJ Rez.
That's right.
Now, Micro DJ Rez, we were joking about Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Isn't it true? There's something called the Razzies.
There is something called the Razzies. It's true. For those of you who are not familiar with the Razzies, so what the Razzies are, it's the opposite of the Oscars. So they do not celebrate the good in movies. They celebrate the bad in movies. And right after the Oscars come out, the Razzies introduce their nominees. And this year is no different. We have the Razzies and their list come out. Topping the list is The Expendables 4.
So how does that work? That's the worst movie?
Yeah, it's been chosen in or most out of all the categories. They don't have many categories, and we'll go through the list here in just a minute. But they, you know, they like to have fun, but they also have a motto that, you know, own your bad. That's their motto. And so when they do something bad, they call themselves on it, out on it too. Recently they've had to do that with the 11-year-old actor Ryan Kira Armstrong, who was in the remake of Firestarter. She's 11 years old, and they nominated her for worst actress, I think, last year.
Harsh.
Yeah, so they apologized.
They did.
Yep, and they said they're not trying to bury people's careers. They're just trying to have fun. So they apologized to her on that. And they also had to apologize because they did, when Bruce Willis was making all of his direct-to-video action movies, before it was announced, he was,
oh, okay,
he was doing, you know, he had his disease.
Yep.
He made up an award called The Worst Performance by Bruce Willis.
Wow.
Or by a Bruce Willis.
By a Bruce Willis.
Yeah. And then, like, 3 months later, it's announced that he is no longer acting and he's got a degenerative disease.
So they didn't know. Like,
yikes. Sorry about that. They didn't know, but they still felt like they needed to apologize. So.
So just by the way, if I give you shit, I didn't know, Mike.
Oh, okay,
Mike,
thanks. I didn't know. So yeah, so the Razzies have been around since 1981.
Well,
yes.
What does that tell you? The 80s.
That's right. Anybody can become a voting member of the Razzies by paying an annual fee of $40 or a lifetime membership of $500.
So I love how everyone wants your money. That's brilliant.
This is what we're doing, though.
Okay.
I think I'm going to pay the $40 and become a Razzie voter next year.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we're going to do this. So yes. We're voting members of the Razzies.
Yes. I'll pay for it.
All right. I'll figure it out.
Can you do like an official, like, Amazing Pop Culture podcast?
I don't know. Okay, we'll going to have to look into that.
Yes.
All right. So here we go. Worst picture nominees. The Exorcist, Believer. That's the one that just came out.
That was with the two girls.
Correct. Expendables 4, Meg 2, The Trench, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I did not see any of those movies, but my kid saw The Exorcist, and she said that they laughed the whole time.
And do you think they were trying to scare? Because like the Winnie the Pooh, I mean, I think even the people that made it, they're like, no one's going to take this shit seriously, you know?
Right.
Tongue in cheek. I didn't see the movie.
Right.
Do you know anything about it? Was it supposed to be serious, or was it supposed to be...
It was supposed to be a serious horror movie.
It was.
But I think it was like the gore was obviously over the top. But yeah, it was supposed to be a serious horror movie for sure. On that, you know...
But how could anything Winnie the Pooh, like horror movie, how could that not get a Razzie?
Right, I know.
Oh, it was done brilliantly.
And then related news on that, they did tease the sequel now that Tigger's public domain, just like I thought.
Oh, I thought it was Steamboat Willie.
Nope. That, there is going to be a Mickey Mouse Playhouse horror movie for sure. That was announced, but I didn't see the Meg 2. I haven't even seen the Meg 1, the first one, the Meg.
You better get to work.
You saw
spent
Shazam,
too much time,
right?
Programming.
True.
Yes.
Yes. Programmer of the Year does not have time to watch some of these movies. You saw Shazam.
Just sucks. That's what I say.
Yeah. So, and then Expendables 4, that came out in the movie theater, and 2 weeks later, it was available for streaming. So that tells you all you need to know about that one.
But I do love the first one.
Do you?
Yeah. Powerful. Well, come on. Who doesn't love action stars?
I think I like the second one better.
Really?
Yeah. And that seems to be like a theme for me. I like the second one of a lot of them better. Empire Strikes Back.
Well. That is the best second.
Rocky 2.
Rocky 2? No.
Rocky 3 was pretty good, though.
Rocky 2 wasn't good. So, what's a good scene in Rocky 2?
There's that one where they're boxing.
Yes.
You know, they're boxing.
So that's the thing. A good movie has at least one good scene.
Yeah.
Rocky, that you can remember.
Rocky 3.
You can
heartbreaking.
You can remember
Mick,
scene.
When Mick died.
Yes.
Yep. And then at the press conference.
Well, who else didn't die? Everyone died in Rocky 3, didn't they? Rocky 4.
Apollo died.
Rocky Apollo dies. Right. Well, that's the key. You have to have someone die in every.
Yeah. You have to.
Yes.
It's a rule now. Worst actor category, Russell Crowe for The Pope's Exorcist. Vin Diesel for Fast X. Chris Evans for Ghosted. Jason Statham for The Meg 2. And John Voight for Mercy. Worst actress, Ana de Armas for Ghosted. Megan Fox for Johnny and Clyde. Never even heard of it. This one breaks my heart. Selma Hayek in Magic Mike's Last Dance. Not because of I think that, that she did a good job in that movie. I didn't see it. I like Selma Hayek. I got a big crush on her. Big crush on her.
Oh, I see what you're doing. We don't have video yet, but he's doing, he has something wrong with his hands.
Yeah.
Is it arthritis or?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It hurts once in a while.
All right.
It really affects my wrist.
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez in The Mother and Dame Helen Mirren for Shazam. Worst supporting actress.
Kim. Who's dropping in the dames? It's like the Sir.
Right. Sir
Paul McCartney. And
how do you become a dame? You're not knighted the same way, are you?
I don't know. I don't want to know how you become a dame.
I'm going to figure that out, too.
Dame.
Worst supporting actress, Kim Cattrall in About My Father.
What was Kim Cattrall's finest role?
Mannequin.
Porky's.
You'd think so.
Do you remember?
No.
No. Okay. No. Look it up, folks. Porky's. Kim Cattrall.
Here's another one, making her an appearance again in the worst supporting actress category, Megan Fox for Expendables 4. So she's up for actress and worst supporting actress. Bai Ling, for Johnny and Clyde. Lucy Liu, Shazam. And Mary Stuart Masterson for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, 80s.
Worst supporting actor, we have Michael Douglas from the Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania.
God, I love Michael Douglas. What's Michael Douglas's finest role?
It's Basic Instinct.
Is it?
It is. No, it's Falling Down. That's what it is.
Wow. God, that's a good movie.
1993.
Yes.
Look that one up. That's a bad day.
It's cool because he's just trying to get home.
Right, yeah.
And everything sidetracks
Everything's pissing him off.
Yes.
I like when he shoots the bazooka.
Yes.
That's a good scene.
I like movies where it's based on just a dude trying to get home, you know?
Right.
Like the Odyssey, but shit happens and he gets sidetracked.
I think Falling Down was loosely based off the Odyssey.
It is, because he's trying to get home and he just gets sidetracked. What's your favorite scene in Falling Down, to prove it's a great movie, is you remember the scenes. It's like Rocky 2, you can't remember anything, but
right, yeah,
Falling but Down, you're going to remember a scene.
Oh, yeah, the bazooka scene's pretty good.
Yes.
So he's got an Uzi in one of the scenes, too, doesn't he?
Uzi 9mm.
Yeah, was he shooting up the phone booth? I mean, my God.
Yeah, he experiences a drive-by.
Yeah.
He's bulletproof.
I gotta watch that movie again.
It's
been coming up like in my life for like the last 3 months, yes. Like at random times.
The ending was bullshit, though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But it seems like we've talked about this before on this powerful podcast. Endings, you know, they kind of just, it builds up really cool. And then it just kind of, these have a runaway train. They always have to have a runaway subway or something.
Yeah.
Like the ending, like Collateral with Tom Cruise. One of my favorite Tom Cruise movies. The ending was bullshit. And where did it happen? On a subway. So.
Yeah. Well, the part when he's like, you complete me. That really threw me off because Jamie Foxx didn't even see that coming.
No.
I didn't see it coming either. Okay, so worst supporting actor, Mel Gibson for Confidential Informant, Bill Murray for Quantumania, Franco Nero, he played the Pope in The Pope's Exorcist, and Sylvester Stallone for Expendables 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
He got one for the show and acting.
And acting, yeah. So there's also worst screen couple, worst prequel, remake and ripoff of a sequel, worst director, worst screenplay. So, yeah, it's a lot of worsts for the Razzies.
So what pops out to you? What are some of the actors or movies?
Or for the Razzies?
Yeah, like who do you as like the quintessential shitty actor?
Just in general.
Yeah, like when you think of an actor or maybe a movie franchise, what you like right away that thing needs a Razzie.
Jared Leto needs a Razzie.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Jared Leto.
Why not?
Just bugs me.
Really?
Yeah. Jonah Hill bugs me.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Fat Jonah Hill or skinny Jonah Hill?
That's a good question.
Or can we say fat, or is that offensive? I apologize.
Overweight Jonah Hill.
All right.
You know, I think they just both equally annoy me. So that Wolf of Wall Street should get a Razzie. I wasn't a fan of that. That
really?
Was about an hour too long, I thought. So, oh, Leave the World Behind. How does that not get a Razzie?
How does your phone not get a Razzie for right? buzzing all the time? Tell the ladies to back off. We're recording a podcast.
I know it.
All right.
Yeah, Leave the World Behind should actually end the Razzies. It should just be like, there's nothing worse than this.
Remind movie. Us, what was that about?
Maybe the end of the world. Maybe the nuclear war. Yes. Maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe.
Check out our episode on it.
Yeah. After this one.
Yeah, newsflash, we both hated it.
Yeah. Out of missing teeth, we gave it the lowest rating ever.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's what I got on the Razzies. So you and I will become voting members for the Razzies.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to do that.
I don't see why we shouldn't, to be honest with you.
Micro DJ Rez, and whatever episode it was, I was talking about, you were talking about Spider-Man and Uncle Ben always dies. And
that was last week's pop yes. episode.
Was it?
Soda episode.
Wow, yeah. It was.
Yep.
Or did we talk about it before, too? I don't know.
I'm sure we talked about it.
It all blends in together. But you know what's weird? That Ultimate Spider-Man number one, the reboot, the reimagined, whatever it is, the new universe, Marvel Universe.
Sure.
Came out January 10th. The comic book is selling on eBay for over $50 raw, not even graded.
Really?
It's already $50.
$50?
Yes. That's how hot it is.
Would you spend $50 on it?
Well, like an idiot.
Did you spend $50 on it?
No. You know what FOMO is?
Yes.
No FOMO, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
It's driving the price through the roof.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that crazy, though? It just came out, and it's already selling for $50.
Didn't they make enough for everybody?
Yeah. But that's just how it is. I mean, people are going to hoard it, and there's that controversy on CGC, the grading company.
Right. Is there another grading company that you can use?
There is, but everyone loves CGC.
So they've cornered the market, and they've also...
Yeah, and they're dodging bullets, and now they're, I mean, it's just crazy, though, but it's amazing to me that comic book just came out in January, and it's already $50.
Wow. How much is it, if you were to go to, like, a comic book store on January 10th, how much would you have paid for it?
I think it's $4.99.
Are you kidding me?
No, the top of my head.
10 times more already?
Isn't that amazing? Wow. I wonder how high it'll go.
I should have written a new
Spider-Man. We got to get you a comic. Copy, yeah. You got to pump and dump it, though. It's kind of like Bitcoin or any of those.
What's that one? Crypto?
Yeah, it is. Comic books are like crypto now.
It's like Dogecoin?
Yeah, exactly.
Pump it up and then
Elon Musk
to trash it on Saturday Night Live. And
but then they're going to flood the market with a bunch of copies, and then it's going to go down again.
Yeah. Now, how often do you get, like, counterfeit copies, comic books? Is that a thing?
No, because I don't think it's worth their while to counterfeit. I mean, it's possible it happens.
Sure.
But what they do is with CGC, what people are doing, had one that was graded super high grade, and then they would crack the case open and slide another one in there.
Sure.
And they stuff like that. But to actually counterfeit it, you know, I don't think it's cost effective.
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
No, but
a lot more work involved.
That's nuts, isn't it?
God.
Yeah, look at this, what I'm featuring right here in Micro DJ Rez.
Ooh, what is that? Looks like Aquaman.
Here, I'm going to have Hulk you look Hogan. At it. This is issue 57 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Tell us your first thoughts as a non-comic book fan looking at that cover.
Well, like I kind of mentioned, it looks like the blonde-haired dude, that looks like he's about to punch Spider-Man in the head. Looks like a cross between Aquaman and... The Incredible Hulk.
Does he remind you of Aquaman?
He does. He's got green pants on.
And he's got the hair.
He's got blonde hair.
Yeah.
And he's got rippling muscles.
Yeah. What he is, he's basically a ripoff of Tarzan.
Kazar.
Yeah. It's either Kazar, Kazar. Because growing up, I used to call it Kazar, and then it's Kazar. Mm. Whatever.
Well, this one only cost 12 cents when it came out.
Yes.
But there's also a saber-toothed tiger.
Yes, Zabu in there, or Zabu.
Zabu? Yeah. Zabu and Kazar, yeah. Kazar? So I take it that Sabretooth Tiger is with the Tarzan boy?
Yeah, Tarzan boy. Baltimore. Isn't that a great song?
It's a great song.
It is. It's powerful. That's a good... I should do that. Thank you. I will Put that, do like a YouTube short.
Oh yeah.
And then play
Baltimore.
Yeah, Tarzan Boy.
Yeah. There's a wrestler named Jungle Boy.
Yes.
His entrance music is Tarzan Boy.
Perfect. So that comic right there came out in 19. Release date is November 9th, 1967.
What is 57? Oh, is that the issue number?
Number 57 is the issue.
In February.
Yeah. And then apparently it says here release date, November 9th, 1967. Cover date, 1968. Editor-in-chief is Stan Lee. I think you've heard of him.
Yeah, there's a little bit of him that I've heard about.
And guess who wrote it? Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
Pencilers, basically dudes, drew it. John Romita Sr., Don Heck. The cover there is my favorite Spider-Man artist, John Romita Sr. Powerful. Editor, Stan Lee. And here's a quote from J. Jonah Jameson in there. Who needs proof? Everyone knows he's a rotten, low-down, no-good killer. Why does he hate Spider-Man so much?
Because he's a disgruntled old man who
he is,
who just got fired from his voiceover work as a Eminem.
Yes. And like we were talking about in Ultimate Spider-Man, the new reboot, he's working with Uncle Ben.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is.
Uncle Ben is alive.
Yes.
We don't have to go through the death of Uncle, well, at least not yet.
Spider-Man is married with kids.
Get out of here.
Yes.
With Mary Jane?
Yes. Very good. He's married with kids. He's not Spider-Man, but something happens.
Oh, no.
Stay tuned. Spend $50. It'll be $100.
So you got Mary Jane Parker, right? We'll go with that. So she's known as MJ.
Yes. Oh, wow. You're so just bringing out the Spider-Man.
Do they have like a kid named like Billy Johnson and goes by BJ?
Oh. BJ, Billy Johnson, and RJ, and J. Jonah. There's a lot of J's.
J. Jonah Jameson?
Yes. I always say Jameson. Jameson.
It's Jameson, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Whiskey. I'm smart. I know things.
What's whiskey? That's Jameson?
Jameson Irish whiskey.
Yes.
Yep. Jameson was always the one who was like, you know, I'm going to get you and your little dog, too, and get off my Lucky Charms.
Yes.
That's Irish.
Cool.
Yep.
Powerful segue alert. What do you got for us, Mike or DJ Riz?
News about Godzilla Minus One. We've been talking about how they released Godzilla Minus One Minus Color in Japan. And you and I had been talking about if they were ever going to release it in the United States. Well, they are. It's going to be released January 26th, which is a Friday. And it's going to run through February 1st. After February 1st. All Godzilla will be out of the movie theaters to make room for the one that's probably going to suck. That's full of CGI. So yeah, so that'll be the end of Godzilla Minus One and Minus One Minus Color in the movie theaters at the end of February 1st. So it does say that a lot of movie theaters that are showing Godzilla Minus One in color will be showing Godzilla Minus the color. So make sure you buy the right tickets.
Will you see it?
I think I'm going to, because they said that they redid the minus color one, the black and white one. So it's not just black and white. They actually went in and with computers and took the color out instead of just making it a black and white. And they make it more of like a documentary type movie.
Oh.
So, and they said the Godzilla parts are even a little more scarier because of that.
Oh, so there'll be enough difference that people will want to see it.
That's what they say. That's what it says in this story that I
So they didn't read. Just run it through a filter to make it black and white.
Correct. Yeah, they actually went back into it and changed a little bit here and there just to make it worth your while to see it, not just because it was just not color.
It's like Wizard of Oz. People think, do you remember the beginning of that?
Yeah.
It wasn't black and white. Sepia. Yeah, sepia.
Yep. Actually, I just saw a story about that. They were talking about when the scene when Dorothy goes from sepia tones to color, the Dorothy you see in the sepia tones that opens the door and the Dorothy that walks out is two different people. Dorothy's stunt double, Judy Garland's stunt double, is actually the Dorothy in the sepia colors.
There's a clone.
Yeah.
A Dorothy clone.
That's right. And she walks through in the colored outfit.
The scene in the hospital in Godzilla reminded me of Dorothy when she was on the bed.
Oh, and all, and all you were there?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
It was all a dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a dream.
Yeah. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
They also, they got a Oscar nomination, I think, for like visual effects or something. So.
Well earned.
First
Well
Godzilla.
Deserved. Well earned and deserved. Or they didn't get it yet.
They haven't gotten it yet.
No.
First Godzilla movie ever to be nominated for an Oscar.
Wow.
Yeah. So something special is going on with that. And hopefully they win so you and I can say, see, we like an Oscar winning movie.
Yes. You know, they try to dumb it down, all these movies, and just crank them out. But I Godzilla shows you, if you put your heart and soul and love into a movie, people are going to like it.
Yes.
And it's being recognized by the so-called, you know, experts.
Yeah, not the Hollywood foreign press.
No.
But your peers. I think Oscars are your peers.
The peers.
Yeah, I think that's...
Piers Morgan. Oh.
Do you know any Oscar winners?
I do not.
I do. I do. I know one Oscar.
Well, that's because you're award-winning.
Award-winning. Yeah, that's right.
Radio with programmer.
Us award winners, we hang out together for people who don't know. Pete Docter, who wrote the first Toy Story, and he's in charge of Pixar right now. My wife played cello with his sister.
Wow.
Many years ago, and their families became friends. So I've met him two or three times. I do know his parents better, and I've had lunch and dinner in their living room and dining room. So
what is that, like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
This is 6 degrees of Pete Docter.
Yeah.
It's actually like 2 degrees, because you know me. I know my wife, who knows them. So actually,
what is that line in Spaceballs where he goes, I'm your father's roommate?
Right. Yeah. What does that make us? Absolutely nothing. Yeah. So you're like almost cousins with Pete Docter.
Yes.
Because of your relationship with me.
Powerful.
Yes. All right. You know, you and I have talked about zombies and how zombies are
played out.
Hate them.
I wonder if you could reboot a zombie movie and I would like it.
Probably not.
You don't think so?
I bet. No, because they've rebooted some. Did you like them? Dawn of the Dead?
Here's the thing with zombie movies. I always like the beginning. I like, you know, like...
When the outbreak happens?
Yes, that's cool. Because then you think... I always think of real life, like, what would you do?
Right.
You know, the cars always crash into each other for some reason. And you always have to have a plane fall out of the sky for no reason.
There's always a screaming crowd somewhere. Yes. That are running back towards you.
But I do enjoy zombie movies in the beginning. They're always cool. And then they just, you know, they can't come up with the rest of the story, so it just pisses away. And
a good example of that is World War Z. The beginning of that was a lot better than the rest of the movie. Although I didn't think World War Z was horrible. And I liked the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
They always have to change them, too. The zombies used to be real slow. And
yeah, now they're fast as hell.
And then, yeah, they keep getting faster. And
This year we have 4 vampire movies coming out.
4 vampire movies.
Yeah, 4 different ones already out.
They're 4 vampires?
4 different.
Oh, I thought they were made for vampires.
Oh, no, not 4 vampires. Okay. I mean, they could be. Yes. I mean, who knows?
They're for all of us.
Yeah, there's one called Sunrise that came out on the 19th of January. And it's got, I think Guy Pearce is the only name that I recognize.
Guy Pearce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it went right to rental on the 19th. It's a Western, a neo-Western, starring Guy Pearce.
Neo-noir Western?
Yes. It's about a former cop who has been infected with vampirism after being tied to a tree as a sacrifice to the local folk legend, the Red Coat.
The Red Coat.
And yeah, that's... What we're dealing with there, going through town, chewing people up.
Speaking of vampires, did you see my powerful tweet where I did a Zoom interview with a vampire? I had the two.
That was like an older one.
The two little windows of
right?
Christian Slater and Brad Pitt.
That's
a Zoom interview with a vampire. Thank you.
You're hilarious.
Thank you. Thanks for enjoying that.
You're welcome.
Can I tell you something? 100% home created. Those are none of them are ripped off.
Get out of here.
They're all created in this powerful, useless mind.
Wow.
Thank you.
Vampire movie number two, Abigail, comes out April 19th.
Abacab?
Yes.
Abacab, powerful album by Genesis.
This one's actually being released by Universal, so it's kind of a big deal. It's remade in the spirit of Dracula's Daughter from 1936, but it has nothing in common with the original film plot.
Oh, no. Who even knows that movie?
Right? So the film is about a young girl who is a ballerina and is taken hostage to a gothic house where the kidnappers are instructed to watch her for one night and a day until her father pays the ransom. Little did they know, she is a vampire. And she wreaks havoc on her kidnappers.
Havoc.
Yeah, so this is tapping into the evil children monster genre. So,
oh, she's a little vampire?
Yeah, she looks like she's about, let's see. Looks like she's about 13 or 14.
Yes, yeah.
She's a ballerina.
That's a hard pass, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing about that movie that sounds
I'm not going to see any of these movies if we're really...
How about versus Predator? Predator versus...
Oh, yeah.
Then I'd watch it.
Absolutely. Coming out on Christmas Day, Nosferatu. This one stars Bill Skarsgård and Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose.
Mm.
So no trailer has been released for this one yet, but it's coming out on Christmas Day for now. And it's kind of like a take on the original Nosferatu, which is an unlicensed Dracula type movie. And then one that's does not have a release date yet, but it will be released this year, Salem's Lot.
Speaking of Nosferatu.
Yes, will also be coming out. So we are in our vampire phase.
Yes, we are.
Of horror movies.
What do you like better, vampire or zombie?
Zombie.
Zombie over vampire?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless we're talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Did you enjoy that movie?
I did enjoy that. It doesn't hold up as well as I thought it would.
Oh, did you rewatch it?
I rewatched it, and it's longer than I remember.
Is it?
And it's just, it doesn't hold up. It's a little slow in some parts, and Gary Oldman doesn't carry it as much as I thought he did.
How about Monica Bellucci? Did you enjoy her in there?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
That was weird with the baby, though. That's kind of...
Yeah.
That's kind of disturbing.
A little bit.
Yes. But I did enjoy that movie. That was Keanu Reeves' finest role.
Whoa.
He didn't even try, did he?
No, not in that one. Especially when all those guns came out.
Yeah, and Bill and Ted's excellent vampire adventure.
My dog. It's like, geez, it's always a dog with him in all of his movies.
But you know why I did like that Dracula movie? I liked because they had the origin story of Dracula. That was cool. Him fighting the Crusades.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Now, what was the name of that most recent Dracula movie? Was it called Dracula? Or if it's something, The Count? I don't know if it was called The Count or something, but there was one that just recently came out, and the guy playing Dracula was, he's been in some other stuff too. Now I can't think of anything he's been in. He was like in the Hobbit movies. He was like the human dad in the Hobbit movies.
You can look it up. Because the coolest, do you remember Dracula 2000 starring Gerard Butler?
Oh, barely.
Yeah. You're going to have to fire that one up.
What about the one with Leslie Nielsen?
He made so many shitty movies. And I love Les. I love him. I mean, love Police Squad.
Oh, obviously,
yeah. Obviously, Airplane, Naked Gun movies, but he made some shitty.
Absolutely, yes. He did, yeah. Yeah, if you just type in Dracula, it's Dracula Dead and Loving It. That was the Leslie Nielsen. So that was 95. Bram Stoker's came out in 92. Dracula 2000 was 2000. Dracula Untold was 2014. Maybe that's the one I'm thinking. I don't know. I thought there was one that came out in 2014. So not as recent as I thought.
No, whoa.
Man.
You gotta lay off the craft beer. That just came out.
Luke Evans.
It's like 10 years ago. You know?
That's the worst part. Luke Evans.
Should have been Chris Evans.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh. Sarah Godin is in it, whoever she is. Oh, now my series. Like, oh, what did you say? Yeah, there's not many people in that I've heard of either. Jeez. God, where's my brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just came out. Oh, just kidding. 2014.
Yes.
So
powerful.
Yeah, zombie movies over Dracula movies. Now, what about Frankenstein? There's not a good Frankenstein movie out there.
No, Frankenstein's pretty lame. Did you see the one with Robert De Niro as Frankenstein?
No.
I'm going to need you to watch that, too.
Which one is that called? Frankenstein? Mary Shelley's Frankenstein?
Yeah, probably Mary Shelley's or Shelley Duvall's Frankenstein.
Oh, can you imagine if Shelley Duvall?
Nope. Yes.
Frankenstein!
Olive oil. She was healthy.
She was.
Yes. Powerful.
Olive oil.
Well, Micro DJ Rez, did you have a good time tonight?
Always did.
Yes.
The best part was when we talked about me.
Yes. Every I want to devote like half the show to Micro DJ Rez.
I think you have to now.
Because you do all the heavy lifting.
It's a law now. Now that I won an award.
Yes. Where is that award? Where do you have it?
It's
displayed.
It's in my bedroom right now on my dresser.
Is it backlit?
No, but it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's an acrylic.
Yeah, it is. Powerful acrylic.
And I'm going to get a base with an LED light under it.
Wow.
That'll change colors. And then
you need a, yes, like a lazy Susan, like a rotating.
Oh, it yes. It needs to
spin.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to get one of those.
Powerful. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed yourself on this powerful episode where we. Me and Mike, when I'm banging into this, God, this barn is going crazy. Well, I hope you guys had a good time hanging out with me and Micro DJ Rez. We just ask you one thing. Please tell a friend about our podcast. And until next time, you've just enjoyed the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast. The Amazing Pop Culture Podcast is available everywhere fine podcasts are found. Please leave a rating and review where you listen to podcasts. Like and follow the Amazing Pop Culture Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And shop our Amazing Pop Culture merch. This has been an Amazing Pop Culture Podcast production.